This is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it? This is how the disciples respond to Jesus in the Gospel of John's Bread of Life discourse. And to me, it seems fitting for today's passage in the Gospel of Mark. You must undergo great suffering, Lord, rejection, and be killed. This is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it? No wonder Peter took him aside and rebuked him. This is not the vision of the Messianic King expected by Israel. The Messiah was expected to be a new David who would overcome the nation's enemies, enlarge the borders of Israel, and establish a rule of justice for God's people. But instead, he speaks of rejection and execution. And somehow his followers are to participate in and share in this suffering. This is a difficult teaching, Lord. Really, who can accept it? Peter's response to the thought of suffering, as a friend of mine says, recognizes that we all do badly at suffering. Of course we do. We are wired to avoid suffering. It is necessary for our survival. Pain tells us that the pan is hot. Fear tells us to run from the woolly mammoth. Those are physiological responses. And then there are the beliefs and narratives we create to protect ourselves. Money will protect me and keep me safe. Power over others will protect me and keep me safe. We create idols and lowercase g gods of these things and other things. Unless we are vigilant in our faith, these gods and idols receive our worship, trust, and loyalty. And the gospel takes a back seat. Today's passage from Mark takes on deeper meaning when we consider the geographical location where these words were spoken. For in the Gospels, geography is theology. This scene takes place in Caesarea Philippi, where the temple of the Greek god Pan was located. The temple of Pan was located on the side of a cliff. Today, you can still see the ornately carved alcoves and other features of the temple, including an enormous cave in the side of the cliff from which a natural spring flows. When I visited this site along with other cathedral pilgrims last month, our guide glossed over the unspeakable things that took place in this temple and was only willing to describe how sacrificed animals were thrown into the cave as an offering to Pan. It is here, in the context of this active temple and popular competing religion, that Jesus asks, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answers, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly orders them not to tell anyone and then launches into what we hear today. He must undergo suffering, be rejected, killed, and will rise. Now consider the competing religions of our social and political context today. And let me be clear, I'm not talking about Judaism or Islam or other world religions that teach peace. I'm talking about the gods and idols of power over others and might makes right that prey on our fears and competes for our loyalty and trust. Jesus teaches us something radically different from this. He teaches love, self-sacrifice, peace. This is a difficult teaching, Lord. Who can accept it? Perhaps only those who come to know that not only our salvation but also our survival is wrapped up in it. Perhaps only those who are obedient to the gospel. Christ's obedience to the cross is what destroys death forever. This is why he responds to Peter the way that he does. Get behind me, Satan. It is evil and death that Christ came to conquer, and he will not allow evil and death to get in the way of God's mission of love and life. Get behind me, Satan. The days of violence and sacrifice can end in Christ. He absorbed it all into his body and took it to his death. And by the power of God, he was raised and destroyed death. And now there is no place where God and God's love is not ultimately sovereign. In response to Jesus' obedience to the cross, his followers are to be obedient to the gospel, to God's mission of love and life in Christ. And this indeed will sometimes be experienced as a cross when we come up against powers that are counter to and in conflict with the gospel. In choosing and living gospel values, it may seem as though we are risking and or losing our lives. And in fact, some of our brothers and sisters have. But Jesus tells us, this is where we find life, true life in him. Our obedience to the gospel and our humble and everyday lives makes this truth visible in the world. It gives others pause. It gives others courage. It causes others to rethink their positions. It is a witness to another way, the way of Jesus, that leads us not only into ultimate salvation, but also into a new tomorrow here and now, one that comes closer to God's dream of us as beloved children, instead of the fresh nightmare visited upon us again and again from the demonic fantasy of violent domination. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Like the image from the 1960s of a daisy stem slipped into the barrel of a gun, we are to be Christ's presence in this world, in this age, this time. Living obedience to the gospel, however difficult it may be, in the face of internal and external forces. For I am certain that in living the gospel, not only our salvation, but our survival wrapped up in it. So my brothers and sisters, be encouraged by the good news. Be encouraged by what God has done in Jesus. For there is no place where God and God's love is not ultimately sovereign. And let it take over our hearts and lives today and ripple out into the world through our words and our actions, that the peace and love of God may be made known. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Be alive in us today. Amen.